Working really hard over the past month or so with lots of help and guidance from Kathy Connell and Kathy Gorman, as well as all of our Sunday school teachers and our music leaders. I'm looking forward to seeing them up here in just a bit. I'm sure many of you are as well. May we offer up a word of prayer. Holy God, it is this day that we slow down for a bit from the busyness of Christmas to feel and sense the great peace brought by the presence of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Hope is here in the flesh, God in human form. We give profound thanks for the opportunity to celebrate his birth and his impact on our world on this night called Christmas Eve. It is in the name of our Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. We will begin our service with the lighting of the Advent candle of Christ. Pastor Dennis.
Throughout the Advent season, we have seen the light of the Advent wreath increase with the lighting of each weekly candle. Light in a darkened room brings forth a sense of orientation and allows us to continue tasks once reserved only for daylight hours. How precious is the light that shuns away the darkness. How precious is the light of Christ our Lord, who breaks forth the spiritual light of hope, assurance, and life everlasting. May we be in the spirit of prayerful meditation as the candles of the Advent wreath are lit this evening, including the Christ candle by Janice Dyer, Nicole Kelly, and Kayla Lawson. God bless you all, and thank you.
As we relight the weekly candles of waiting, peace, joy, and love, we celebrate that these candles symbolize the light of God's presence shining forth throughout the world.
This evening, we focus our attention on the candle in the center of the wreath, the Christ candle. This candle is always white for Christ's purity, and is usually larger than the four weekly candles. It reminds us that the light of Christ's presence on earth is indeed greater and brighter than any presence humanity has ever experienced.
As we light the Christ candles, we also remember that Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." John 8:12.
And as we light the Christ candle, may each of us shun the darkness of sin and direct our lives toward the light of Christ's presence, thus adding our efforts to commit ourselves to God's glorious purposes.
Come surely, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night. Our hearts long to greet you as roses the light. Salvation, draw near us, our vision engage. One candle is lit for the hope of the age. Come quickly, teach alone, teach us how to prepare for a gift that compels us with justice to care. Our spirits are restless till sin and war cease. One candle is lit for the reign of God's peace. Come confessively sing while awaiting the birth. Join angels in dancing from heaven to earth. Wave banners of good news, lift high thankful praise. One candle is lit for the joy of these days. Come wander where lion and lamb gently play, where evil is banished and faith takes the day. A babe in a manger to fool the world's eyes. One candle is lit for God's loving surprise. Come listen, the sounds of God with us re-clear, and signs of a cross in the distance appear. The Word once made flesh, yet the Word ever near. One candle is lit for the Christ's birthday.
Sharing from the Word of God, our attention is drawn to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with the first verse and continuing on in my reading portion to verse 7. We're reading from the King James Version because when it comes to the Christmas story, this is the one that most people are familiar with. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his bespoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and may we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to be in your house this evening, to pause from the tasks that have been before us, as there has been much busyness to be prepared for Christmas Day and all events that we have been endeavoring to be a part of with family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and indeed even as many among us traveling to places near and far, and many have traveled near and far to be present with us. But we pause now to consider this night and to consider the day set forth tomorrow in which we celebrate your presence among us. For isn't it a wondrous thing to realize that you chose to live with us here on earth? It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. One Christmas week a few years ago, while buying groceries, I asked the clerk, whose name I knew was Shanna, "How are you?" And Shanna responded with a great smile on her face and filled with animation. She exclaimed, "I'm wonderful. I can't wait for Christmas to get here. I've got all these gifts to give." In those few words, Shanna expressed the essence of the Christmas season, that giving of oneself to others brings unspeakable joy. On this eve of Christmas Day, it comes to our attention that God also rejoices in the spirit of giving, giving so much that he gave of himself over 2,000 years ago when patriarchal fathers, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, prophets, priests, and kings, all of these were not adequate as a way to express his desire to be first and foremost among his children in this earthly existence. Entrusted to the care of the humble carpenter's family of Joseph and Mary, God chose to give the utmost gift of himself in the fully God, fully human presence of his Son, Jesus the Christ. As the text of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 states, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And as it is later repeated in the Gospel of Matthew, the very first chapter, verse 23, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Awed by the uniqueness of this great love, recognizing that Christianity is the sole religion in human history in which God dwells among us as fully one of us, we can't help but draw our attention to the nativity scene like we have over here to my right and to your left here in the sanctuary. And wherever else tonight, or on Christmas Day, or throughout this season that we call Christmastide, possibly you'll see other nativity scenes, and you will pause, and you will gaze upon the figures of the nativity. Nativity scenes have depicted the birth of our Lord Jesus for centuries. For carved statuary in cathedrals and churches were a distinctive way to tell biblical stories when congregants could neither read or write. In time, however, such statuary became so profoundly elaborate, incorporating gold, silver, jewels, and precious gems. It was in 1224 AD that St. Francis of Assisi decided that such elaborate representations were drawing parishioners' attention away from the image of the Christ child. St. Francis chose to create a manger scene focused on the biblical account of Christ's birth. He used hay, simple carved figures, and live animals to create a manger scene in the village of Gracio. But then, as now, the difficulty with so many nativity scenes is that we gaze upon the scene and we get the impression that everything is still and silent, as if the wonders of God's presence have stopped. And the action of God's presence was something that happened way back then, but doesn't have any impact on us today. I think back on my oldest nephew, who now has three children who are well into grade school, but years ago, he was kneeled in front of the small table that had the nativity set there in my sister's home. And Cindy was in a bit of a hurry trying to rush out the door. And Brian, as he was standing there, he said, Mom, I can't go now. I've got to wait." "Well, what do you have to wait for, Brian? I'm here at the activity set." You see. But the nativity set really is the activity set, because it shows how God chose to be active and present among us. Contemplating that time long ago in which the Christ child was born, we know that Mary wrapped her baby Jesus in a swaddling band and laid him in a manger. After his birth, Jesus' body was rubbed with a very fine salt and then laid diagonally on a square of cloth about a yard in size. Mary covered Jesus' body with this cloth and bound him toes to head with a 3-by-6-inch band of cloth about 15 feet in length. The swaddling banding, even mentioned by the angel of the Lord to the shepherds in the fields beyond Bethlehem, emphasized that the baby Jesus was the legitimate son and heir of the family of David. Because remember, again, the angel said to the shepherds, "You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying where? In the manger." And although being wrapped in swaddling clothes, wherein Jesus' tiny movements were definitely restricted, we realize that Jesus as an infant was not bound and still forevermore. And even as we may bundle up our own infant children, so all we see is their tiny faces in order to protect them from the elements, we too realize that there is really nothing stagnant or still about a tiny baby. For in short order, babies are strengthening their muscles as they wiggle their arms and legs and look about. Babies are busy. Soon they are crawling. Soon they are walking, held steadily by their mother's hand. Soon they are running by their father's side. Yes, the most wondrous aspect of the Nativity is that there is nothing stagnant at all about it. The donkeys brayed, the sheep baaed, the cows mooed. The shepherds delighted and spoke in their awe of the angel's appearance. Joseph stood proud and protective, and Mary must have smiled. And like our own children, quickly and smartly, the Christ child grew. Jesus matured in stature and faith. He spoke with wisdom beyond human reason. Jesus walked. He led his disciples. He spoke, taught, comforted, healed, prophesied, bore our sins, died, and yet rose on the third day. And then his resurrected presence walked among us as he was both human and spiritual, capable of eating, yet also capable of walking through solid doors. He inspired his believers with words of future hope. And then he ascended into heaven. And as he ascended, he gave us such great hope as Christ, God in the world, said, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Yes, as we gaze upon the Christ child lying in the manger on this eve of his birth, we rejoice, for there's nothing static, nothing still, nothing quiet about the Christ child. For the text declares, Emmanuel, God is with us. Praise God. We turn to our communion hymn. It's number 165. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4, Once in David's, in Royal David's City, as we sing in preparation for communion. Number 165.
In Royal David's City stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger. eyes that mother mild. Jesus Christ, her little child. And our eyes at last shall see him through his all redeeming love. For that child who seems so helpless lives and reigns in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means, therefore, that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as we are led in prayer.
Our gracious and loving Father, we gather here tonight to celebrate the birth of your Son and our Savior. You sent him to rescue us. Be with us, Lord, tonight and in the coming year. Help us to be more Christ-focused and Christ-like. Help us to remember how faithful your love is for us. Allow us to come to you with the same faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this evening. In the spirit of Christ's giving and sacrifice, the offering that is received this evening is used for the emergency fund to help people in need, many of whom are beyond the walls of this building or our fellowship. We thank you for your generous gifts.
Father, we come bearing gifts in remembrance of that night long ago when three kings traveled afar to proclaim the birth of our Savior. We ask that you bless these offerings, our gifts and talents, so that they may be used to further your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated, and we welcome Kathy Gorman to come forward for the introduction for our children's program. Kathy.
We're not quite ready. And I am not going to sing for you. Merry Christmas, everyone. Isn't it so good to be able to worship God in this church tonight? The youngest among us have been diligently practicing their Christmas program during this Advent season. We thank you for sharing your Christmas Eve service with them tonight. Let's listen to what our angels have to tell us. May their Christmas joy fill your hearts. Please join us in singing, O Come All Ye Faithful, all verses.
O come all ye faithful, faint. Oh, come me to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, oh, in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Child for us sinners, pouring in the manger, we would embrace thee with love and awe. Who would not love thee, loving us so dearly? Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this salvation. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Words of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Thank you. evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mary Mary reporting live from Bethlehem. For several days now, we have been following the light of a bright star. We have seen many travelers on our journey on this roadway, but by far the most interesting were Magi, who have been following the exact same star. We have, these Magi spoke of a joyous event that has taken place here in Bethlehem. We have come to see if we can find out more information about this, possibly find out why the Magi were so excited. I believe I've heard singing coming from over here. Let's go see if we can find out more information, see if we can get some of our questions answered. Excuse me. Are you angels?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Real, sent by God, singing angels.
Yes.
Okay. Jeez. Well, can you please tell me why you are all here?
Good news of a great joy. A king has been born.
Did I hear you right? A king? Oh, I must go immediately to the Grand Bethlehem Inn to welcome this king.
No!
Stable, a manger. Surely there must be some mistake.
Really, it's true. It was foretold a long time ago.
God sent his son to be our Lord and Savior.
The star points to the manger.
Well, folks, it has been a night of many wonders. A guiding star, Magi bearing gifts, a choir of singing angels. This night has indeed been one of great joy. The Messiah is born, A great peace has settled in the streets of Bethlehem. This is Mary Mary signing off. Can we all give a big hand to our little angels? I think they did fabulous. Thank you very much for coming.
morning. Service at 7, will they do it there?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay, I'll leave
it there.
Might. Okay.
Are you sticking around for the second service?
Well, I better, honey, because I got to turn all these lights off.